The Old Testament provides valuable lessons for all Christians. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, that the things written before time were written for our learning. And one such lesson is the importance of us making wise choices in our lives. When we look at the Old Testament, we see the character Lot made a choice as to where to live and the result that he experienced. In Genesis 14, he suffered through war and was kidnapped. We see from 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8, that Peter says he suffered oppression and torment by the ungodly citizens of the city of Sodom. In Genesis 19, we see that he had the loss of all his possessions, the death of his wife, and had to suffer with incest with his daughters. We see the other character, another character, that is, of David, who chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba, and the consequences that he suffered. In 2 Samuel 12, we see the death of the son that he and Bathsheba conceived together. In chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, we see that he had a daughter that was molested by her half-brother. And in that same chapter, her brother became vengeful and killed the half-brother. In 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18, we see that David had a son that was rebellious and led a rebellion in the nation against his father who was king. And he shamed him publicly, and then his death brought about even more grief to David. With these two characters alone, we see the illustration in the need for making wise choices. So let's consider some choices that greatly affect our lives. If you're not a Christian, then choosing Jesus is one of the wisest choices you can make. So the question is, will you follow Jesus or not? Will you become his disciple? Or are you going to refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 is the greatest invitation ever extended, and that's extended by Jesus himself. Come unto me, all who are weary and labor. He says, and I will give you rest. This one decision will affect your life more than any other decision in your life, more than who you marry, more than the job you make or take. And it will determine your place in eternity. It's going to have a bearing on every decision that you make in life. As a disciple, you're going to be concerned with doing the will of the Father in heaven. And as a disciple, you will simply not want to do your own thing. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Also, it's going to affect the career that you choose. Even from a worldly viewpoint, your choice is important. The job market's always changing. And the wrong choice could lead to a financial ruin or put you in some type of hardship. And more importantly, the choice can have a lasting effect on your marriage and your family, as well as your service to God. You need to make the choice to honor God first, and you will be blessed. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you do that, then things will fall into place like the career that you choose. Making money is the primary decision, is the primary factor in a lot of people's decisions. But if that is your primary factor, then destruction's going to follow. Paul speaks to this in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. But another choice that is greatly affected about whether you choose Jesus or not is choosing who you marry. This choice will determine to a great extent your degree of happiness, Proverbs 12 and verse 4. And it will have a permanent bearing upon your children and their emotional well-being. You know, a lot of people may think that I can simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice. But once you have children, there is no way to reverse the choice you made as to who is the mother or father of your children. And society does not frown upon divorce anymore. People get divorces and have multiple children by multiple spouses. But the one thing that is always a constant, the children are always hurt. Children are not unaffected by the violence of divorce. And you may think that there's no violence, but there is. Anytime you rip a home apart, even if it's a peaceful divorce, you split a family, you divide it, the children suffer, and it is a violent divorce. God says that he hates divorce in Malachi 2 and verse 16. Another thing that's going to have a great impact upon is choosing who your friends are. The proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 17 and verse 17 that having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. But he also tells us in Proverbs 12 and verse 26 that the wrong friends can be a curse. And Paul speaks to this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, that they can corrupt our good morals. But also another important thing that it will help us to choose is where we live. It was this choice as to where Lot made his mistake. It appears to be a sound business decision when he makes that choice in Genesis 13. But later on in that chapter, we see that it was a poor moral choice. Now, upon what basis do we choose where we live? Is it based solely on how much of a house we can afford? Is it based upon the location as to where we work, the schools that our children would attend, or what? Or do we consider whether it will help us or hinder us in our service to God and His church? There are a lot of modern-day Sodoms and Gomorrahs that we need to avoid. Now, for every action, there is an equal reaction. And for every choice, there is a consequence. To increase the likelihood that our choices will have good consequences, here are a few suggestions to help us make wise choices. The first thing we need to do is ask God for wisdom. In James 1, verses 5 through 8, God promises to give wisdom to those who ask in faith. And the proverb writer tells us in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 9, that asking for wisdom requires diligence. We need to be persistent in asking God for wisdom. But then we need to take what He gives us. We need to fill our prayers with requests for wisdom to make these wise choices. Another suggestion is ask others for advice. There is safety in having many counselors, the proverb writer would tell us in Proverbs 11 and verse 14. And he also would tell us in Proverbs 12 and verse 15 that there is wisdom in heeding the counsel of others. Now, let me suggest there's two great sources for counsel. One is the Bible itself, especially books like Proverbs. It is a book of wisdom. And then another great source for counsel are older, more mature Christians. Don't ever hesitate to ask others what they would do. Rehoboam made that mistake, and we talked about this Sunday morning at Eastside, that he asked the counsel of the older men who had served his father, and they gave him sound advice. But he didn't like that, and he went with the young men who he grew up with, and they gave him bad advice. A third suggestion would be to make commit your choices to the Lord. Psalm 37, verses 5 through 6, and again in 23 through 26, says that trusting that you have made choices that are pleasing to Him, then put them in His hands. Trust that you've made the right choice, and then put them in God's hands to help you. Make your choices with understanding. James 4, verses 13 through 15 tells us that we ought to pray and live our life if the Lord wills that we will do this or do that. One might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, He might frustrate the carrying out of our choice, or to otherwise show you what is His will. And that could include God in your decision making. If you wish to make the wise choices, then it will include God. And there will be times when it becomes apparent that we have made a poor choice, even a wrong choice. So what can we do to avoid making matters worse? Well, the first thing we need to do is learn from the mistakes of others. Do what Lot did. When Sodom was going to be destroyed, he heeded the word of the Lord and he fled. And that's what we need to do. We need to heed the word of the Lord. We need to listen to what God tells us. Don't just ask God for wisdom and then turn our back on Him. Look to His word. Look to the proverb writer as a book of wisdom. Do what Peter did. You remember Peter told the Lord that he would die with him. He would never forsake him or deny him. And yet he did when Christ was on trial. And he went out and he repented and became a great servant of the Lord. So if I make a mistake and it needs to involve repentance, then I need to repent. If sin is involved, I need to do as Peter did when he denied the Lord. And I need to serve the Lord with what time I may have left in this life. And then we need to do what the Apostle Paul did. Accept God's wisdom, God's judgment, and live. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus provides. Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 16. And then we need to make the determination that I'm going to live for the Lord to the best of my ability. But the wrong thing to do is to continue to remain in the bad choice that I've made because of pride or some other reason. And then I don't need to wallow or just feel sorry for myself over my guilt or my loss. I hope these examples of men like Lot and David, and there are others throughout the Bible, will help teach us the importance of making wise choices. That we will serve, that they will serve as a warning not to make our decisions lightly. And that we may ever be open to the wisdom of God and the counsel of others as we make such choices as our careers, who we're going to marry and who we're going to choose as friends, as well as where we're going to live. Have you made the most important decision that you'll ever face in this life? The one that we spoke of at the beginning of this lesson? The decision that's going to determine your eternal destiny. The decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why not make that decision today and become a disciple of Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we have Matthew's account of Jesus' great commission there. And we see a result of that great commission in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Where Peter says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They heard the message and they responded. Their hearts were pricked, and they obeyed the gospel and became a disciple of Jesus Christ, making one of the wisest choices they've ever made in their lives. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, then you need to consider doing that even today. We would be glad to study with you even further. If you'd like to meet with us, we'll meet this morning at 9 a.m. at Eastside Church of Christ for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. for worship service. And we'll have a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 o'clock. If you disagree with this lesson and you'd like to discuss this with me further, you can look me up on Facebook at Jeff Curtis. You can look me up at the Eastside Church of Christ Facebook page. Or if you'd like to listen to this lesson again or any others, you can go to churchateastside.com, our website, and you can search the page there and listen to this lesson or others again or even comment. Again, I want to thank you for being with us today, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.